The Lord.
Amen.
God is so good. His presence is in here today.
Amen.
Amen. And I invite each and every one of you to just enter into the presence of the Lord and receive what he has for you today, because he has a word for each and every one of you. Praise
Amen.
God. I'm Pastor Sharon, and this is Pastor Rock, and we just want to welcome each and every one of you. And if you're a first-time visitor, I would like for you, if you will, just to raise your hand and let our ushers give you a card this morning. And we want to just say that we are blessed and honored by having you today. And let's give them a hand clap of welcome. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. And before I turn it over to Pastor, I just want to speak a word of blessing over you. So just be ready to receive what God has for you today. Father, in the name of Jesus, I just speak over your people this morning. I declare over them in the name of Jesus, they are the anointed of God. I declare in Jesus' name that they are strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. I declare they are victors and not victims. I declare in the name of Jesus, they are healed, healthy, whole, and strong. Spirit, soul, and body. I declare no weapon formed against them will prosper, and every tongue that would rise up against them in judgment shall be shown to be in the wrong. I declare that they are doers of the word of God. I declare that they are what the word of God says they are. They have what the word of God says they can have, and they can do what the word of God says they can do. I declare they are the redeemed of the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
They are redeemed from debt.
Yes.
Redeemed from poverty.
Yes.
Redeemed from lack in
yes.
Jesus' name. I declare your household is blessed. And I declare that you are living under an open heaven in Jesus' name. I declare the Lord makes you rich. Wealth and riches are in your house. Everything you put your hands to prospers in the name of Jesus. I declare the wealth of the wicked, the treasures of darkness, and hidden riches and secret places comes to you
yes.
in the name of Jesus.
Yes.
I declare you are a world overcomer and you have the victory in Jesus' name. Give him a clap of praise.
Praise God.
Amen.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Praise God. Glory to God.
Praise the Lord. I turn to your pastor at this time.
Well, it is neighbor looking time. I want you to look at your neighbor. I want you to smile at your neighbor. Matter of fact, I want to do something a little different this morning. I want the neighbors over here in this section here. Would y'all do that for me? I want all of you guys that are in this section to in this section. We're going to get closer together this morning. I know the weather's... And if you don't like the neighbor you're sitting by... Find you another neighbor and sit by somebody you want to sit by, I guess.
Amen.
Amen. Glory to God. See, and y'all did that without complaining. I want to thank y'all for not complaining when I asked y'all to do that. I didn't hear any complaints. Glory to God.
Amen.
Glory to God. It is neighbor looking time. Look at your neighbor, smile at your neighbor, point at your neighbor and say, I came
to receive
God's good word,
this day.
And I declare,
I'm ready.
Are you ready
to
receive
God's good word
this day. And I declare,
I'll never
be the same
again.
In Jesus' name. Glory
Amen.
To God. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Let's just go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we just plead the blood of Jesus Christ over the rest of this service. Father, we thank you that the eyes of our understanding are enlightened according to the hope of your calling. We thank you for revelation knowledge. We thank you that the word of the Lord will have free course in our midst. We thank you for strong utterance and strong anointing, and that your people make a strong drawing on the anointing of God this day. We thank you for answers coming in your presence today. Holy Spirit, preach through me, teach through me. Help me say exactly what I should say the way I should say it. Illuminate the eyes of my understanding, Holy Spirit. Help me, preach through me, Holy Spirit. And Father, I thank you that you said signs and wonders follow your word, and we are preaching and teaching your word this day, so we expect and we believe to see signs and wonders follow this word this day. in Jesus' name. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Ask if you will to get your Bibles and go to Romans chapter 8. Glory to God. Glory to God. Romans 8, starting verse number 14. And the title of the message today is Being Led of the Lord in Everyday Life. Romans 8 and 14, For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And Proverbs 20 and 27, The Spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly. Now, I want to show how the real us is on the inside. It's our spirit man. And we're going to learn to lean more on our spirit man than our natural human understanding. Now, I'm going to just take in a lot of different examples and stuff and just show you some stuff. Now, this may sound odd, but the first example that I've got is Granny. Her little dog is named Spike. He's a little chihuahua, and he's bad to the bone. But he was having a little problem, and we were going to take him to the vet this last week. And we were praying about it, and me and Pastor Sharon both felt like we weren't supposed to take him to our regular vet. We have, several dogs, and we always take him to the same vet. And we both just felt like he's not supposed to go to that vet. And there's nothing against that vet because he's a great vet. But we were thinking about another place, and we just started, let's just pray about it before we take him. We're getting ready to go. And so we were praying about it, and I asked her, I said, did you come up with something? Did something drop in your spirit? And she said, no. She said, did you? And I said, no. I said, but I keep thinking about this certain vet. And she said, which one? And I named it. I said, but I don't want to take him there because I don't really like it. I don't like the place, and I just don't, it's not a natural preference for me. And I said, but I keep thinking about it, and I can't get it off my mind. And I said, that's got to be my spirit telling me take him to that vet today. And so I said, we're just going to follow it. So I'm just talking about how you be led of the Lord in everyday life. We went, and we made an appointment to go. And so we're supposed to meet him at a certain time or whatever. And we got there. He's not there. He was out on something with another animal. And the waiting room started filling up. And the dogs were real antsy in that waiting room. They were really barking and upset and, it was really gnawing at you. You know what I'm saying? Maybe it wouldn't have y'all, but it did me. And I'd sat there for about 30 minutes. We're waiting on him to get there, and he's still not there. And now my natural person is trying to take over. I said, you know what? We can leave. And I said, so we're thinking about leaving. Honestly, we were. And, we didn't. And then he came, and they put us in a room. And now here's what he did. He walked in. He picked Spike up. He took his stethoscope or whatever, and he started looking at Spike. For 3 minutes, he checked Spike over. He said, I know exactly what's wrong with him. He said he named what it was. He said, I can make him a lot better. He said, I'm going to give him 2 pills. That'll take care of it. He'll be fine. Now, you say, what's the big deal of that? How is that any big deal about being led of the Lord? Well, undoubtedly, you don't have animals. Because I've been to the vet many times with our animals. And the vet says, well, we're going to have to do these tests. And it's going to be $500, or it's going to be $700, or it's going to be $1,000 to run these tests. And then we're going to have to do, not just the test, but then there's the blood work, and then there's this, and we're going to have to keep them overnight, and it's $175 overnight, and we're going to have to find out what the problem is. Well, we took him to somebody that knew exactly what the problem was, right on the spot, diagnosed it. Now, you could say what you want to, but he was taken to the right person at the right time. You see, we can be led like that. You could take your car to the right person at the right time at the right price, and somebody else, it could be 3 times as high. You could take yourself to the right doctor. Maybe you've had a problem or whatever, and we believe in doctors. We believe they're working for us to bring health and healing to our bodies. But, you could also have the wrong doctor. You understand? And they could do test and not find it because they don't know. They don't have the experience. Their eyes are not illuminated to the particular thing, the issue that's going on in your life. So you could be led to go to someone else. Hang on. There's a reason for this. I don't know what it is, but there's a reason for this. There's a, I've told this before, and I'm going to tell it again. Pastor Sharon went to a doctor in Columbus, and she'd been going to this doctor for a couple of years, and then the doctor told her, he said, you need surgery. You're going to have surgery. And he said, we need to go ahead and schedule it or whatever, and she didn't say anything to him. Pastor Sharon's kind of quiet, you know, like that. She don't say a whole lot, and she left there, and she told me, she said, I don't have a peace about it. She said, I don't think I'm going back to that doctor. She said, I don't have any peace about it whatsoever. And I said, okay. So we prayed about it, and she didn't have a peace about it. She changed doctors. The other doctor checked her out, didn't need surgery. Everything was fine.
Amen.
Then a few months down the road, we heard her previous doctor, and I'm not calling names or anything like that, but we heard through the grapevine, we weren't listening. I mean, just somebody in the casual conversation mentioned this doctor's name. And they said, did you know what happened to him? And she was like, no. Well, he's got all these lawsuits against him now because he's been performing surgeries that people didn't need. Now, she didn't have knowledge of that. She didn't have natural knowledge of that. Can you understand? But the Spirit knows all things. When we're listening to our Spirit, illuminated by the Holy Spirit who knows everything, He'll lead us and guide us in right paths. We can be led by the Spirit in everyday things.
Amen.
We'll get back to this doctor thing in a minute. We were coming to church one night. This has been several years ago. And our road's about a mile and a half down our road or whatever. And we got about to the end of our road. And I said, we're supposed to go back. And if you know anything about me and Pastor Sharon, we come in here on two wheels. We don't have time to go back. But I kept feeling like we got to go back. And it's not something like, it's something like we need to do it. It's like, you got to go back. And so I said, we're going back. And so we turned the car around and came back to the house. Pulling up in the driveway, there's a car there. We just left this house. We left our house not 3 minutes ago, and there's a car in our driveway. I pulled behind the car. I got out. I was rather angry. And you can't see through the windows of the car. You can't see who's driving. You can't see how many people in the car. You can't see nothing. And I was walking up to the driver's side trying to get somebody to come out of the car. This lady jumped out of the car on the other side, and she said, we made a mistake. We made a mistake. She said, we didn't mean to pull in this driveway. I'm sorry. She said, please just let us go. She said, just pull your car and just let us out. We made a mistake. We're sorry. We're very sorry. Please. I said, okay, but don't ever let it happen again. I mean, we were behind them. We had tag number. We had the car, exactly what it was. Now, you can say what you want to say, but following that prompting of the Spirit, it stopped something that was fixing to happen. It stopped something that was wrong that was fixing to happen. See, and most of the time, see, I'm giving you examples like that, but most of the time we overlook it. Most of the time I overlook it. And it's the Lord, it's the Holy Spirit trying to illuminate us to stuff that's going on in our everyday life. Psalms 32 and 8 says, I will instruct you and teach you in the way that you should go. I'll guide you with my eye. I know I've read about Joel and Victoria Osteen. Said he was shopping at the mall. He found this nice tie that he wanted. He said, I like that tie. Victoria said, buy it. He said, no. She said, buy the tie. He said, mm-mm. He didn't tell her, but he didn't feel peace about it. Now, how would you not feel peace about buying a tie? Nothing wrong with buying a tie. What we do is we reason it away. So they're in the mall, and he said, they went on many, many stores, and whatever, they came to this other store, and here's the same tie, but it's on sale for half off. Half price. Well, he didn't know that, but the Spirit, He'll lead you into ways that are going to make you, He's going to save you money. He'll multiply the money you've got. If we'll listen to the Spirit man on the inside, He'll help us where money's concerned. A man and his family, this is a minister, were having family devotions. The scripture passage for their devotions that day was from 2 Chronicles 16, 12 and 13. It tells of King Asa, who got a disease in his feet, and instead of seeking the Lord, he sought physicians and he died. This man, who was a minister, said that he was struck by this because he was supposed to have his tonsils removed, and he realized he hadn't even prayed about it. So he told his wife and children and asked them, let's just all pray together about, you know, having the tonsils removed. And they'd already scheduled it. They prayed about it. The Lord felt like on the inside of them, the Lord said, don't do it. So he didn't do it. To his astonishment, the Lord healed his tonsils. He never had any more problems with his tonsils. We don't have results like that so many times because we train ourselves to not pray. We should be training ourselves to pray and to ask the Lord and put Him first about everything. But sometimes we rush into things without prayer and without peace. Pray first, then wait, then follow peace. I'll give you another one. Okay, about 5.5 years ago, I went to the doctor, and the doctor sent me to a heart specialist. I had a viral infection, and I was confused why he's sending me to a heart specialist. Heart specialist did lots and lots of tests, and he said, was telling me a bunch of different stuff, and then he said, you're going to have a defibrillator. He said, your heart strength is too low. He said, if your heart strength drops by 6%, you're going to be on the heart transplant list. He said, so we got to get you on medication, and he said, we got to get a defibrillator put in you right now. And I said, I'll take the medication. I said, I want to think about the defibrillator. I'm trying to explain to him, I want to pray about it. And so me and Pastor Sharon prayed about it. I didn't have any peace about the defibrillator. And started taking the medication just like they told me to. And he scheduled it. And they called Pastor Sharon and said, the thing is going to be on this date. And I said, what thing? And she said, the defibrillator, they're wanting to go ahead and put it in on this date. I called him back. I said, uh-uh. I said, I didn't approve this. I said, I already talked to him, and I had not decided to do it yet. And they said, we want to see you back again now. So they got us back over there. Said, maybe you don't understand what we're trying to do. We're trying to help you. I said, I understand you're trying to help me. And they explained exactly what the defibrillator was for, the whole nine yards. I said, that's good. I believe you. I know you're working by medical science to help me. I said, but it's a no. I don't have peace about it. I didn't tell him I didn't have peace. I said no. They brought another doctor in. They said, maybe I can explain this to you better. Because undoubtedly, I'm too stupid to understand what they're trying to tell me. So they had another doctor explain it to me. I said no. So they told me, they said, every time we bring you here, we're going to talk to you the first thing about the defibrillator because it's number one of importance right now for you. I said, that's fine. So for the next 2.5 years, every time I went, which was a lot, they told me, they had this long conversation with me about the defibrillator, and I kept saying no. And then I changed doctors. I went to a place up in Opelika. The guy did the test. He said, you need a defibrillator. I said, I ain't going to do it. And he said, I went through the whole spiel with him. And he said, we're going to have a conversation about this again. I said, we can have plenty of conversations, but I ain't doing it. I said, okay. So went to him a little over a year ago. I redid all of the tests. He said, I've got some news for you. I said, what's that? He said, you no longer qualify for a defibrillator. He said, your heart strength is so much better than it was before. Medical science wouldn't even tell us to give you a defibrillator now. Well, all right. All right. That's what I'm talking about. See, but we take it as final authority when we hear it from somebody in authority, and it's God. It's what's in our spirit. What's in your spirit? Now, let me qualify that. There's nothing wrong with having that done. There's nothing wrong with having procedures done. There's nothing wrong with having surgeries done. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying you follow your spirit. And you don't do something that you're afraid of and do it in fear. You have peace about it. You pray about it. And you follow peace. And you're going the right way when you follow peace, whatever it is. That's what I'm saying. Amen. See, a lot of people think that Christian people are against doctors or against medicine and stuff like this. We are not. But it is not our final authority. It's our first authority is the Lord, and then he'll let us know which direction to go to bring healing to us. Okay, but don't do it without consulting Him. Amen. There's a lot of decisions in our lives. We just don't think anything in the world about just making the decision. Now, I'm talking about pastor here. I'm too fast to do stuff, and I'm learning. I'm still learning to slow myself down. Now my speeds are slow and slower. Because a lot of people will ask me, well, why don't we do so-and-so? I don't have it. I done so much stuff and got so far ahead, I've learned to say, if I get it in my spirit, we'll do it. And if I don't, we won't. Well, I think we should. Well, I think it's good. If you pray about it and the Lord tell you, tell him to tell me, because I ain't going to do it until he tells me. Thank you very much. I give y'all a little side journey right now. Can I give you a side journey? I ain't got nothing to do with nothing, but I'm going to give you a little side journey. Years ago, when we had the storefront church, we used to have people come up to me and said, we need to have a New Year's Eve service, Pastor. And we need to have that service, you know, from we pray in the new year, and that's a good thing. There's nothing wrong with it. And we only had a handful of people, and you know, I said, boy, I got so excited about it. Somebody want to have a New Year's Eve. Let's do it. I didn't pray about it. I just did it. We did it. The person that suggested it didn't even show up. They were so excited about doing it, but they didn't even show up. That happened to me more than one time. And so in my lightning fast mind, it occurred to me, let's find out if the Lord said to do this. Because if the Lord didn't say do it, let's don't do it. Since we're there, I'll stop off there and do something else. We were at the storefront church. And we had a friend of my mom's. At that time, my mom was alive. And she had a friend of hers that went to another church. And she said, you know, so-and-so would be somebody good to bring in as like a guest speaker at your church. And I'm like, I wonder if they would come. I was talking like to my mom, and she's talking to this lady. I said, I wonder if they would even consider coming to a storefront church, because a lot of people wouldn't. And said they gave me her phone number and said, call her. And lady said, yeah, she was all excited. She'd come. And so we set up a tentative date. It'll be this month. And we're trying to figure out which week, because she had stuff going on and we had nothing. So we were just trying to figure out which place to put her. And I run into this friend of my mom's, not this lady who lived from out of town, but the friend of my mom's that was in town. I ran into her one day, and she said, well, I heard so-and-so's coming to your church. And I said, yeah, she is. And we were all excited about it. And she said, I don't know what's wrong with my pastor. I was like, huh? Check, 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 check. There's a fire going on. You understand? Check, check. She said, I don't know what's wrong with my pastor. He won't let her come. I'm like, oh, Jesus. And I like her pastor. I love her pastor. I think he's a great man of God. And I'm like, he won't let her come? And she said, no, I don't know what his problem is. And we walked off. Now I'm in a fog. I said, oh, God. I said, is this lady really supposed to come or not? I could have asked you, but I didn't. I was just so excited that she would come to a storefront church. I took it for granted. We take things for granted. And I said, let's pray about this thing. I prayed about it. And then I called her up. I said, have you got any tapes? I'd love to hear a tape. You know, she said, well, I don't really have any tapes of preaching because I really don't preach or teach. I said, what do you do? She said, I just prophesy all the time. I was like, that's all you do? She said, yeah, that's it. She said, I got a lot of tapes where I prophesy to people, though. I said, I called her back. I said, we're going to have to cancel this meeting. And she said, did I say something wrong? I said, no, I don't feel led to do it. I realized I had missed it. Now, it's better to find out on this end that you missed it and where you can still straighten it up. Thank you very much. Colossians 3 and 15, I'm going to read it to you in the Amplified. It says, let the peace of Christ, the inner calm of the one who walks daily with Him, be the controlling factor in your hearts. Let the peace of Christ be the controlling factor in your hearts, deciding and settling questions that arise. Amen. Now, in the King James, it says, let the peace of God rule in your hearts. Amen. In the another translation, I want to say it's Amplified Classic. I could be wrong about that. It says, let peace be your umpire. So, it's the peace of God has to decide for us. If you don't have peace about something, you've been praying about it, then it's not time to do it. And, you know, you might be praying about a car, and the Lord, He gives you a perfect peace about changing your car out, getting another car. You've got a peace about it. You go to the place that you're going to do it, and you've got a total peace. Then you do it. You follow that peace. You prayed about it, and you just follow that peace that's on the inside of you. He's not going to tell you every part of the deal, but He's giving you that peace as a confirmation that you're to do it. But if you have fuzziness and you have, I don't feel so good about this. I want to do it. It's a need. I need it. But you don't, you feel kind of a check in your spirit, then you need to wait. You don't need to make any decision like that, because God knows something. The Spirit knows all things, but He's trying to drop into your spirit, not at this time. Because if we do things out of timing, there's suffering involved. And we're the ones on the suffering end. And it's not God causing the suffering. It's because we got ahead of His timing. It might just be, don't do it today. I know many years ago, I didn't know what that following the peace of God on the inside of you was. And I remember, this is 30-something years ago. I remember I was going somewhere to visit with some friends. And on the inside of me, I just had, don't do it today. I'm like, my natural mind said, why not today? There's nothing any different today than any other day. What? Why not today? So I did. I went and visited the friends. There was strife. There was arguing. There was fussing. I wouldn't have been involved in any of it if I had listened and followed peace in my spirit and not been there that day like I was not supposed to be. But I just brushed it aside. I want y'all to say this. I am a spirit. I have a soul. And I live in a body. The real you is the spirit man. Amen. Say this, with my body, I contact the physical realm. With my spirit, I contact the spiritual realm. With my soul, I contact the intellectual realm. Now I'll give you a scripture that'll fall in line with that. 1 Thessalonians 5:23 in the King James. It says, "And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray God your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless until the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ." So you are a spirit, you have a soul with your mind, will, and emotions, and you live in a body. Now we think being led by the Spirit is one size fits all. We do. I mean, I've learned this the hard way. We believe, well, you know, I did it like this last time. I'm sure that's the way the Lord wants me to do it this time. No, He wants you to ask Him. Amen. Well, you say, well, I don't understand that. Well, some blind people, the Lord took clay and spittle, and He took it and He put in His hands and He led the person away from everybody else, and He took the clay and the spittle and put it in their eyes and He healed them. Okay? The next one, a different one, a different situation. He didn't use clay and spittle. He just said He spoke the word over them and they were healed. Other times were different ways. There's different ways. He was operating not as the Son of God in His flesh. He was operating as a man filled with the Holy Ghost. So He was being led by the Spirit. And we're to be led by the Spirit, and we'll be led different ways in different situations. Even though it may be a similar situation, we'll be led in a different way. Sometimes we could be led the same way, but not always. See, I want to be led the same way every time, but it doesn't work that way. Amen. See, the guy that was healed with the clay and the spittle, now, you can imagine him talking to his friends. Now, look, you're blind. You've been blind all your life just like me. Now, I'm going to tell you how to get healed. I'm going to tell you how I got it. Clay and spit. Get me some clay. I'm telling you, I can put this in your eyes and you're going to be fine. You're going to be able to see. Because clay and spit is all it takes. See, because he had it was his experience that was done that way. See, there's a lot of people, we're all laughing, but in the body of Christ, this one was delivered from smoking by hands laid on them. They never, ever, never, ever again desired a cigarette, ever again in their life. And this one struggled for 3 years, saying everything they knew to say, doing everything they knew to do, and they didn't get it the same way as this one. And this one telling them, if you just have hands laid on you, it would be okay. And we look down our spiritual noses, if you did it the way I did it the right way, and it happened to me like this. It doesn't matter how it happened to you or it happened to me. It's the Lord's leading. He touches us and He deals with us different. And we shouldn't be looking down on people differently because they're used differently or things happen to them or occur differently in their lives. It's not one size fits all. Can y'all hang with me a minute?
Yes.
Ephesians 6:18 says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Now, I didn't realize this, but Greek scholars say, according to the original Greek manuscripts, the first part of that verse literally says, praying, being led by the Spirit. It means the Holy Spirit will lead you how to pray and how to do things in your life. Now, here's something that I miss a lot. Daniel, where are you at? Raise your hand. Me and Pastor Sharon, walking around our house, and this has been weeks and weeks ago. Daniel, something's up with Daniel. It's Daniel, I can't get him off my mind. Yep, me too, I feel the same way. Something's up. Well, we're supposed to be praying. Every time something like that, and you can't get somebody off your mind, now we found out later you went through a lot of stuff. We didn't know it, but the Spirit knew it.
Yeah.
And he was trying to, he said, I need somebody to pray for Daniel. I need somebody to connect to him. I need somebody. The Spirit knows what we're going through. But to be honest with you, sometimes pastor is too spiritually dense not to perceive it. And we all are. I'm saying that for all of our benefits. Sometimes we're just not as spiritually sensitive as we should be. You think about them 3 or 4 times. Why I keep thinking about them? Because you're supposed to be praying for them. The Holy Spirit's looking for somebody to intercede for them right now. They're going through something right now. Well, I saw them the other day. They were doing good. Hush. That's sense reasoning. Hush. The Spirit knows exactly what they're going through right this second. Do it.
Amen.
Doesn't make sense to your natural mind. Do it anyway.
Amen.
Flow with the Spirit. Acts, we're coming to a close. In Acts 27... 9 and 10, the Apostle Paul said, Sirs, I perceive that this voyage will be with hurt and much damage, not only of the lading of the ship, but also of our lives. I perceive. Sirs, I perceive. He's saying, I have a check in my spirit, and you know that ship went down and they had a lot of problems, and you know all the stuff that went on. Okay, sometimes we have a check in our spirit about a trip that we're going to take. Sometimes we have a check in our spirit about coming home a certain way. To come home a different way, and we'll avoid an accident. I know I've told before about how Ken had a dream, and he dreamed about a certain intersection, and he dreamed about a certain car, and he's going to work after this dream the next day or a couple days after, and he gets to this intersection, and he remembers his dream. And he said, you know what? I remember in that dream, this car, this certain color car at this intersection sped through this thing. He said, I'm going to just stop for a minute and wait. He stopped and waited. The very car that he saw in his dream come flying through that intersection, right where he'd have been if he hadn't paused. He perceived that dream was the God by the Holy Spirit prompting him so that he would keep him safe. There's many things that happen like that where we ignore those promptings. I'm going to ask y'all to stand. I got a lot. Glory to God. Ask Pastor Sharon if she'd come. Glory to God.
Amen.
If y'all receive something, praise the Lord. Glory to God. Glory to God.
Glory
to God. Glory to the Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Father God. Praise you, Father God. Just say this while she's coming. I am a spirit.
I have a soul.
And I live in a body. I am spirit conscious. I declare in the name of Jesus, I am more spirit conscious than body conscious. I declare I am a spirit, I have a soul, and I live in a body. The real me, that's my spirit man. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God.
Was an awesome word, amen.
Praise God.
That's something that we have to learn to do on a daily basis because the Lord's always speaking to us.
Amen. You know,
so many people say, God doesn't speak to me. Well, He is, but
amen.
See, we have to be in tune and we have to be listening for His voice. And And this message made me think of this scripture, so I wanted to read it.
Amen.
1 Kings 19, 11 through 13 says, and he, this is talking about Elijah, and he said, go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind rent the mountains and break in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice. And it was so.
Amen.
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 We're looking for something so big and so loud and just, you know, like we just can't miss it.
Mm-hmm.
But God, most of the time, speaks to us with a still,
that's
small
right.
voice
Amen.
On the inside of
Amen.
Us. Amen.
Amen.
But He's always there,
mm-hmm.
always speaking to
mm-hmm.
us, always willing and wanting to lead God and direct us in everything.
Mm-hmm.
But like Pastor said, we forget to ask Him.
Mm-hmm.
We
mm-hmm.
forget. So we're going to just make a commitment this morning. Just speak after me. Father,
Father,
in the name of Jesus,
in the name of Jesus,
I commit myself to be more aware,
to be more
to
aware,
to be more sensitive,
to be more
to
sensitive,
hear your voice,
to hear your
and
voice,
to ask you,
and to ask
and
you, every need,
and everything
that I do,
in every area
of
my
life,
I listen for that still,
small voice,
in Jesus' name,
in Jesus' name,
Amen,
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God. Glory to God.
Glory to God.
Glory to God.
Praise the Lord. Ashley, you can come.
Glory to God. Praise God.
Ashley, you can come and you may be seated.
Praise God. Praise God.